What could God do with a church like this? In a church where we have just over 20 families with about 100 children. It's about a 1-to-5 ratio, household to child. And that's just right now. Obviously, we're still going. And we've still got many even in the works, even as we speak. So, I would dare to say that the fifth commandment is very important for us. It is very important for us as families and as an assembly and how we respond to God, His Word, and the fifth commandment will directly impact where we are in the future. For us as an assembly and for us as individual households. Will we obey God in our homes is the question. Will we obey God in our homes? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. Honor father and mother. Last week we looked at the first part of this message, why we must honor father and mother. And we looked at the first reason is because God commanded that father and mother must be honored. And that God commands that all that His law be obeyed. When He gives a command in love, those who are saved, in love, we obey God. And so God commands it is the first reason. We looked at how God establishes authority. And that as we submit to and obey authority, we are submitting to and obeying God. And the three spheres of authority that God explicitly stated in His Word is the state, Romans 13, giving the state authority, giving them the sword, establishing the church, giving the church authority, Matthew 16, 18 to 19, giving the church the keys, and the family. You can go to Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, or Exodus 20, verse 12, the fifth commandment, and giving the family the rod. So the sword, the keys, and the rod kind of symbolizing the jurisdictional authority or power that is God has given to each of those authorities in this world. And then we looked at how God commands that honor be given to father and mother. And we spoke how important it is that to honor your parents, that we must honor fatherhood and all that fatherhood means, and how we've drifted from the value of fatherhood. And we must honor mothers as mothers. We must honor motherhood and the importance that motherhood must hold, and how our culture is so against fatherhood and so against motherhood and seeking to redefine all of these roles and all of these values away from, which is simply to devalue, which is to dishonor, to break the fifth commandment. So honor fathers as fathers, honor mother as mothers. And then we looked at honoring parents and how important it is that father and mother, as the bond of the home, be united. Has not God made them one for this purpose, to bring up godly seed? Therefore, take heed that you do not deal with your wife treacherously, the prophet says. And so we looked at those aspects last week, and we closed with the fundamental importance of humility. Proverbs 22, forces by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And that before honor is humility. So that was what we looked at last week. This week we're going to pick up part two and staying on the same question. Why must we obey? Why is it so important? And the second reason it is so important that we honor father and mother is so that we can be pleasing to the Lord. So that we can be well-pleasing to the Lord. In Paul, as he's under the supernatural inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he's penning the epistle of Colossians, okay? He starts out Colossians chapter 1 with a prayer. And he's praying that for this reason, 1:9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then Paul goes on to pray that the believers would be filled to overflowing of the knowledge of God, of the fullness of Him, that they would be pleasing to the Lord. Then in Colossians 3, verse 20, he writes this. He says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." It is well-pleasing to the Lord for children to obey their parents. When we honor father and mother, God is just smiling. Remember, make your face shine upon you and give you peace. It's well, God is like, yes, that is pleasing to me. As a child submits himself and obeys his parents. As we honor father and mother, it pleases God. And so we need to have that picture in our mind. Why do we do what we do? For God. Our goal is to worship God, to praise Him. So honor father and mother is an act of worship. It is a fundamental act of worship. Well-pleasing is to praise God. It's to offer praise and sacrifice and offerings to the Lord. And so as we obey God's law, as we worship the Lord and obeying the commandments, God is like, I am well pleased with this. This makes me happy, God says. And certainly we can't understand all that means, but certainly we understand the word well pleasing. You know, if someone gives you something that you really like, you say, wow, that really made me happy. That's it. You know, well pleasing. When our brother from Liberia was here, he said, you know, to please the Lord, you must give God what He asks. You must do what He wants. You must obey His will. So this is something we don't have to guess on the will of God, is it? This is explicit as you can get from Genesis to Revelation. To honor father and mother is to be well-pleasing. It is well-pleasing to the Lord. It is God's word. It is God's will. And remember what Jesus said about this in John 14:23. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Boom! He puts them together right there. He said, don't ever think about loving me apart from my word. Don't ever go there. Because you are not smart enough to think about what pleases God apart from what God has said. And a lot of scriptures speak to that. How do we know the mind of the Lord except the Spirit reveal it? Right? God has given us through the Spirit, His Word, to reveal His mind on these subjects. And so, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. But then he goes on. He says, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, make our dwelling with him. Boy, don't you want to have that in your life? As you keep God's word, out of love for Christ, the Father and the Son are drawn, and it makes their dwelling, the Trinitarian dwelling, with you. Father, Son, and Spirit. That's beautiful, isn't it? That's the importance of honoring, of keeping, and of living for God as revealed in His Word. One reason I think this is so important, and this ties back to the authority issue, is remember that honor is the proper response to authority. In general, honor is the proper response to authority. And so, you know, the judge comes in, you know, all rise. You're giving honor to the authority that judge has. And so there's many applications of this. Honor is the proper response to authority. And remember, all glory, law, and honor belong to who? Belong to the King, to God. And so God has established authority. As we obey and submit to that authority, we do it, children obey your parents, what? In the Lord. And so that honor is going through them to God, through them to God. As you obey the traffic laws, as you submit to the jurisdiction of the state in areas where it's biblical.
No, don't go too far down.
As you submit to the police officers telling you stop speeding, okay, you're bringing honor to the Lord. Even though that person, that police officer may not be a respectful person, okay, he may be a wicked man, but you respect his position. And so you're giving honor to the Lord through that. And so honor is the proper response to the Lord. The scripture says that honor is right. It's explicit. It pleases God. Honor father and mother is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Ephesians 6:1 tells us, for this is right. The word right there is righteous. This is what is righteous. This is righteousness. This is the practice of righteousness, to do what is right. How many people here want to do what's right? The people of God always want to do what's right. We don't always do it, right? That's grace and forgiveness, repentance, confession, and get back on the road. But we have a supernatural desire for those who are born again. We want to be well-pleasing to the Lord. We want to please our God. We want to do what's right. Well, this is something, again, this is explicit. You don't have to guess about this. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, we do have a little bit of a problem here. And that problem comes in with you and I. We are born from our great-great-great-great who did something fundamentally wrong. He dishonored God, Adam. And as Adam entered the race, through Adam, sin entered the race. And thus, Romans 5, death spread to all because all sin. And so, sin is a rebellion against God. And so, each one of us have in our hearts, at the core of our being, a rebellion against God, a hatred for God and a hatred for His law. I mean, that's our natural man. Each child coming into the world has a natural rebellion, a natural bent, a crookedness away from a God, a bending away from God, called the total depravity of man. That is, every aspect of man in his natural state, apart from God's grace, is completely against God. Doesn't mean man's as bad as he could be, but it means there's no part of God, of man, that functions without being tainted by sin. So that kind of, we have a problem here when we have this command given to honor God, honor authority, and our nature is to dishonor God and dishonor authority. Proverbs 29:15 says, a child left to himself brings shame to the mother. The reason that is true is because if you leave a child and you just let the child go, as we have a whole generation and generations now in our country of children who have been just let go, what will come out of that child is not good. It is shameful. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. He says, what goes into a man is not defiled, but what comes out of a man and out of the heart come. Thievery, idolatry, immorality, fornication, lying, all this wickedness is in a man. The scripture says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. It is bound deeply in there. So, we have a problem now that we're going to hone in on to the specific question of how do we teach our children to honor father and mother? Because that's kind of where we are as an assembly. That's the question on our hearts. How do we, I mean, we ought to think broader. I want to think broader, especially last week, but let's ask this question. How do we teach our children to honor father and mother? And I confess my need for help in this area, but it's a fundamental question. Let's look at how we don't teach them to honor. Okay, we recognize there's a problem. They are naturally dishonoring. All right? This is how you don't do it. Would you just honor me? Get angry. Demand it. Grow! I just planted a couple of fruit trees in my house, in my back acre there. And, I planted a fig tree, and it looks like a stick now. If I went up to that fig tree, and I said, grow, you'd say to me, what? You're crazy. It's not growing! So I could get angry. I could rant and rave. I could manipulate. I could poke at it, right? I could jab it. But God has ordained certain ways for this tree to grow. This tree needs certain things. It needs water, especially in the desert. It needs sunlight.
It needs time. There's a seasonal growth to this, isn't it? But you don't have enough fruit. You need fruit. You're a fruit tree and you have no fruit. You're a stick. And it's funny because you think that's ridiculous. But how often do we go to our 4-year-old, to our 6-year-old, to a 12-year-old, to a 16-year-old? Where is your fruit? You don't have the fruit. Haven't I told you 100 times not to do this and you're doing it again? And we get in the flesh. Or maybe we just turn away. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe you're not so expressive and demonstrative all the time. Maybe it's just quiet. Okay, fine. Be that way. It's just quiet. You just... Sarcasm. Cutting remarks. Manipulation. Do you think these things just create honor in your children? No. The same person is someone who does the same thing over and over and thinks it'll produce better results. You know, that's... And there is an insanity to all of us in our deception of our sin. Welcome to the human race. But by God's grace, how do you know if you're deceived? You come to the light. You confess your sin and you walk in the light as He is in the light, that we can be forgiven. So that is not the way to teach honor. And to one degree or to the other, I mean, we all mess up there, a little bit to a lot of it, don't we? So that is not what we're talking about. And let's just keep that in mind. We've got to put that off. Paul says, put off the old, put on the new. Put off the old, put on the new. You've got to think deep about why you're doing that. You've got to think deep about how, in your family of origin, how that affects you. Well, this is the way my dad did it. And look how I turn out. Right? Real good. We say things like that. We got to think about that. We want to grow beyond, right? We want to have faith and grow where God wants us to. So put off, and let's put on honor. Let's think about honor. Fundamentally, honor treats people as special because it values others. Remember last week we talked about what honor is? Honor is value. And so what you value is what you honor. It's giving weightiness to something. Okay, it's giving a weight, giving an honor, giving a value. Honor treats people as special because it values others. See, if you grew up in a home where there was no honor, you grew up in a home without a sense of value, without a sense of belonging, without a sense of participation, where you were disvalued. And that disvalue can come in 1,000 ways, okay? It can come from being abused, and it can come from being just hands-off parenting. Hands-off parenting is to disvalue your children. Okay? And so, this idea of honor is very far-reaching. Romans 12:10 says, be kind, kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And honor, giving preference to one another. So honor gives preference to one another, gives value to one another. Another translation says, outdo one another in showing honor. So fundamentally, honor then is giving value to others in giving honor value over self. In a book, and the title is a good title, it says, say goodbye to whining, complaining, and a bad attitude in you and your kids, by Scott Taransky and Joanne Miller. And the whole book is about showing honor. You know, they kind of package it that way. Oh, how to say goodbye to whining and complaining, bad attitude. Oh, I like this, right? And you open up, and the whole book is just simply about honor. It's about honor. In the book, he has this illustration about the Rivera family. The Rivera family has worked hard to develop a sense of family honor. We teach our children that being a Rivera is special. We're not just out for ourselves. We work as a team. When a job needs to be done, the Rivera family pulls together. We work hard to clean up the house or plant a garden or do yard work. We also have special privileges as a family, going out to eat, playing games, or having ice cream together. We treat each other as special. Meanness is not acceptable because it does not fit our identity. Angry outbursts require an apology, because hurtful words aren't consistent with the idea that we value one another.
this kind of value then, in this value, every situation is now an opportunity to honor others. Honor and dishonor begin to stand out. See, honor changes how we interact as families. It's core. It's fundamental. It changes how. It's like the oil in the machinery. Right, Dave? Without the oil, that motor does not last. We've got a couple mechanics here. That machine does not last long. It rubs and the friction gets too hot and it burns up. Honor is like that oil. And it keeps the family relationships running smooth because there's value. There's respect for one another. Think how different family life is when we value others. Teasing and joking are limited, if not gone. No one is left out. Strengths are appreciated. When there is weaknesses, individuals receive encouragement instead of ridicule. Because we value them. Love covers a multitude of sin. Honor is the attitude that grows real obedience. Okay? Honor is the core value. It is the core attitude that it's kind of the soil that it tills up the soil where then obedience can really flourish and grow. But if there's not a basic underline of honor, the obedience can be done out of manipulation, out of fear. And it can produce, pharisaical hypocrites. So honor is that fundamental value. Honor thinks of what would please someone else and gives them what is more than what is expected. I want to talk about now briefly here three heart issues. It's on your outline. Three, I think, just fundamental issues that are required. They're prerequisites to honor, if you will. Okay? And if you don't have these three, you can apply practical teaching for honor your father and your mother and miss the boat if these three core attitudes are not functioning within you. The first one is humility. The proverb says, before honor is humility. Honor comes before humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. A prideful person is only concerned with himself, what they can get. And so a prideful person will come to the law. A prideful person always has a problem with the law. Okay? They always have a problem with the law, and they always have a problem with grace, and they don't understand the law, and they mess up grace, and they'll use the law unlawfully and make a mess of things. Okay? Your person that has a legalistic problem is a prideful person who doesn't understand grace. It's amazing. I've sat down with many people who have many axes to grind against legalism, and as I really understand what's going on here, they are people who are legalists to the core. Because they don't understand the law, and they don't have an operative faith working in them that's driving them back to grace. They can humble themselves and rightly appropriate the law of God, the truth of God, the commandments of God in their life. And so this is like really important. If we get the right heart attitude cultivated towards the commandments of God, we're going to understand how to approach this thing. But without it, and I confess, I this is part of my own, missing marks here and there. Like, what is going on here? And it drives me to my knees. And I think this is where we really need to put a lot of emphasis. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humility. Before honor comes humility. We must be concerned with, I am a servant. Okay? It's that humility that can make you stand before someone who is dishonoring you and not get in the flesh, but to seek to serve them. That takes grace, doesn't it? The second point is grace. So humility, I think humility leads us to grace. Because when you strip yourself down and you're standing naked before God and you have nothing to give to God but your sin, you're gonna need grace. That thrusts you on the grace of God, doesn't it? Repentance and humility thrusts us upon the grace of God. The grace of God, then, is the second one. And the grace must be accepted by faith in Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves with humility. Clothe yourselves with Christ. And so humble yourself. Put off pride. You don't have the answers. We need God. I need God in my life. and I accept God now by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, I am clothed now, clothing, being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the power of God in the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So humility and grace, operating in faith. As that then becomes our attitude, now let's apply it specifically to training. The third one would be to value others. Now see how they all work together? A prideful person values himself and doesn't depend on grace. And so you humble yourself, you put yourself, you need that, you're depending upon grace. The fruit of that is now you are free in Christ to obey His commandments and start to actually valuing others, actually loving others. And so now as you value others, you're learning to treat others as special. And this is where the training comes in. Do we value others? I.e., do we value our children enough to train them? Do we value our children enough to be in their life and train them? Train them, train them, training. That's, you know, and this where all the texts go through, whether it's Deuteronomy 6, Ephesians 6, you know, the Shanon all the time, when you get up, when you walk, by the way. Try that. We know that. That is exhausting. It is completely exhausting. And it's going to, and any pride or self-righteousness that's in your heart, it's coming out, isn't it? I would say, amen to me. I know it comes out of me. Because the pressure is on, and that's a lot of what God is doing with us right now, as He's squeezing us, squeezing us, squeezing us, and it's coming out, coming out, coming out, and it's making a mess. And we're like, woe is me. My life is a mess. And so, it's like, well, it's better than just being in denial, isn't it? At least we're getting some reality. But let's just not be discouraged and give up, right? Let's use that motivation to draw us to humility, draw us to grace, and then draw us to value others so that we can be, that we can have a long-term commitment to training our children. And so comes this great value from the Word of God to train up our children in the ways of the Lord. The three fundamental issues: humility, grace, and honor. Having that heart of honor that comes out as a commitment to train our children. That's the heart issue. Now I want to look at six practical issues on training. So if we're in the heart issue, I mean, and they work back and forth, but this will help you to see. This comes from Tranansky's book. He gave me the six points here, and I put some different thoughts to them. But the first one would be, honor treats people as special. Honor treats people as special. And how do we communicate this to our children? The first and foremost way we communicate honor to our children is husband and wife relationship. Husband and wife relationship. Ephesians 5, wife, see that she respects her husband. And husbands, 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as with a weaker vessel. So the fundamental way you show honor, teach your children to honor, is for wife to honor her husband, to respect her husband, and for husband to honor his wife as the weaker, as the unique, as the more delicate, as the sensitive flower vessel that she is. If you don't have it there, it's going to be really tough to do it in your children when the bond of your family is not centered on God and His will. Your marriage covenant. Okay? That's fundamental. An application for children, I think, would be Leviticus 19:32. We want to treat others as special. So, Leviticus 19:32, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. And so, treating others as special. So, when an older person comes into the room or something, we could teach our children to honor, rise before them. It's just putting an application to that, to teach them to care for the needs of others. One way is, children, you're sometimes prone to run in here, aren't you? You like to run. One way, we do seek to try to curb that. Why? Because we want to honor others. And there's people doing different things. And to run through here is not to be concerned for others. It's only to be concerned about yourself and the fun you want to have. We can go outside and you can run. That's appropriate. But in here, we want to show honor to others by not running. And so now everyone's like, oh, my child runs.
I know. Why not? Well, we're in process, okay? That's one thing. We're on process together. You know, there's no one perfect, and we all know that. So we're all going to love each other and move on with this. And so, but thinking of ways, how can I train my children to show others special? Opening the doors, making meals, extending yourself for others. The second point, honor does more than is expected. Again, the Romans 12:10, outdo one another in showing honor. Be a leader in showing honor. If you tell your child to set the table, and the child knows what they're to do, and they set the table, you've taught your child to obey. And that's a good thing, okay? But the child that has learned to honor not only will set the table, but will set the table and then go and ask if there's anything more. Maybe tidy up the whole living room. See, that's a child that is honoring. They're seeing what needs to be done, and they're going and they're doing above and beyond what is expected. Obedience is expected, but honor goes on to do more than what is expected. More than what is expected. Yesterday on our hike, we wanted to make sure we picked up all the trash. That's just to show honor. You want to, when you leave a place, you want to leave it better than when you got there. You know, we hear that statement. That is to show honor. All those are tangible ways to show honor. If your boss says to you, you know, well, why don't you move these 8 widgets and then you can go home? Well, you know, you opt to move all 10 of them. You stay an extra 10 minutes after work on your own time and you move the extra 2. You know what you're doing? You're honoring your employer. You're honoring your boss. That kind of thing goes a long way, doesn't it? Don't you appreciate when someone does that with you? To do more than what's expected. To find out what that person wants and give it to them. To honor them. That's being respectable. That's being honoring. And God says it will go well with you if you honor your father and your mother. If you learn to interact with authority in general in this way, specifically for your parents. So, humble yourself. God, we need grace. Because really, we live in such a dishonoring culture. The air that we breathe has been just so disgustingly dishonoring to God and His Word. And we're products of that. We're fish. We're in water. And we've just sucked in the pollutedness of dishonor. And that's where we're coming from that. You know, we don't have this, a lot of us don't have this stellar experience in being raised in this stuff. But we do have this. We can humble ourselves, can't we? And we can cry out to God for faith. We can have asked God, God, help us, show us. And you know what? God always will. So, think through these things. Don't get overwhelmed with them and let God direct your steps. Honor deals with a bad attitude. Honor deals with a bad attitude. The popular illustration, Jimmy, sit down. And Jimmy sits down. I may be sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside. Right? He obeyed because he may be afraid of getting spanked, and he sits down. But inside he's like, I don't want to do what you've told me to do. Dishonor. So honor deals with the attitude. It deals with the fundamental attitude. Because honor is attitudinal. To value others. You cannot value others and be concerned with yourself. Can you? If you're mainly concerned with yourself, are you honoring? No. So honor is fundamentally attitudinal and has a myriad of applications. Okay? So honor deals with the inner attitude that we put off dishonor, that we put off being concerned with ourselves, and that we put on having a good attitude, an attitude that is concerned primarily with the one we always honor, God Himself. All honor is to God, and honoring that authority that He's established. And so that always it shakes us up out of that bad attitude. And don't be deceived here. Put off bad, put on right. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." I think that's very important here as we talk about an attitude, because it's the rod, and we know what the rod is. The rod is the rod. The rod, but it doesn't say the rod. It says the rod and reproof. That doesn't just say reproof, talking the word of God, those kinds of things, does it? It says the rod and reproof. And so training involves, ready, the mature handling of the rod and reproof. Well, what do those who are not mature do with that? They mess up, they humble themselves, they go back to grace and value training and get the training. Rod and reproof, that is consequences and speaking.
consequences in the rod, or, you know, obviously you could, you know, expound that to other, you know, various consequences, but certainly it does involve the rod. The rod and reproof, correction. Reproof is a way of life. Speaking right doctrine, speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4, that you can grow. So our children need us to give them the rod and to give them reproof. The rod and reproof gives wisdom. But a child lets himself bring shame to his mother. And so, can you administer the rod and reproof when you have a bad attitude? Yes, but you're going to make it worse. Okay? Yeah. You can get in there and, you know, make it worse. You're gonna mishandle God's word. You're going to speak God's word without the right attitude, and it's going to bring damage upon your children. And, you know, we've all done that before. We all messed up. So it's like, yeah. Sorry. You know, but that's, see, that's, sorry, it's humility. Grace lifts our spirit to worship God and get in the game and do it again. The rod and reproof. Let's check our spirits, parents, that we have the right spirit, that we do it with an honoring to the Lord. This is worship. Training children is worship. Training children is praise to God. God has ordained that this is like the praise time. What is it? It's correction time. We're having a worship service in our home. Everybody, get ready for discipline. I mean, really, that's what's going on. That's how God sees us. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. And God's like, okay, guys, I see that child. He's gotten out of life. But look at that parent. Look at that attitude, God's saying. That parent's honoring me. And God says, this is well-pleasing to me. And that parent comes. And now that parent is instructing that child. And God's like, he is well-pleased with this. And now look at that child. He's coming around. Bingo. That child is well-pleasing to me now. That child's obeying. That's how God's looking at this. So let's not us get all pruny face and without face and you know, being condemned by the law without grace and just, right? It's not God's will for this thing. It's not how God has made this thing to work. Deal with the bad attitude. If you deal with disobedience and the attitude is not right, the training is not complete. If you deal with disobedience and the attitude is not right, the training is not complete. The goal is not behavior. The goal is honor. You can get behavior. Okay? And again, you know, let's just throw threats out the window. Yes, I mess up there too. But threats don't work. That's the wrong way. It's manipulation, right? It's not threat. It's not behavior. It's honor. Honor is deeper. Okay? And so, if your child then complies with what you requested, but they're doing it dishonoring, you're not done yet. Okay? You need to go back and visit the rod and reproof. You know? Usually, two cycles, and, you know, two cycles pretty much takes care of it. If this first cycle, rod and reproof don't work. The second cycle seems to really, really get, and you don't have to go there very often, but it seems to really work effectively. That it's like the shock of the second cycle. No, because the goal is honor. It's not just obedience. Honor is right. Number four, create honor lessons in life. Think about this. You want to think about training aspects. Think about creating honor lessons in life. A simple one is come when called, show value for parents, listen with your eyes. And so, Alex, when you call their name, you know, they honor by looking. That they listen with their eyes. And that's just a simple way of teaching your children to show honor to you. And working well with others. Create honor lessons in life. You know, and it doesn't, again, the attitude is worshipful. And so for a little child, and this is what God is, you know, really showing me more and more, is how important it is to have training times. And so, you know, when your child's little, it's, you know, come to daddy. And it's a praise time, okay? And for a lot, I won't go too much, you know, sometimes I think I was just too negative in this area, you know. It's like the focus was on, you know, I didn't necessarily see it as worship. I saw it as a drudgery. It is, you know. But no, this is worship. So it can be an upbeat time. You know, let's make your face shine upon them. Okay? So come and they're gonna want to do that. Yes, I want to worship the Lord. I want to please my daddy. I want to please my mommy. And so create times of honor for parents. Create honor lessons in life. When your daughter messes up or when your son doesn't listen or, you know, let's, you know, always retraining, always thinking through, you know, they don't do what they should have. Maybe they're older now and they're not, doing what's right. And so, you know what? Let's go back. Let's revisit this. Let's work through this. Let's talk through this again. You know, this is like the fifth time that you didn't put the lid on the dog food. And the dogs come in, they eat all the food, and, you know, what's going on here? That's you know, and you work through that, but you still can do it with a smile. You see what I'm saying? Do that with a smile. And so, okay, we're going to have a training time now. Three times a day, we're going to take the lid off and put it on. You're going to do it 10 times a day, right? You say, well, that's silly. Yeah, you know what? Do it for the Lord. I mean, just, let's be creative, you know, and thinking through different ways to create honor lessons in life. Certainly, you know, with others, you know, when we have hospitality in our home, that's a great way to show honor to others. You know, you have others in your home, and we're going to let them eat first. Why do we let them eat first? I'm hungry. Because we're going to honor them, okay? I know you're hungry, but so there's a lot of opportunity. Remember, honor changes how the family interacts. Every situation is an opportunity to show honor. It is the power to transform the home from the inside out. Number five, and this is probably one of the hardest ones, model honor. Model honor. You know, the old adage, which is the worst adage yet, one of the worst ones ever, do what I say, not do as I do, is you know, do as I say, don't do as I do, but Dad, I will do exactly like you. It's just the way it is. One father said, I tried all kinds of techniques for teaching my son table manners. It doesn't work. He still eats just like me. You know, you can give all the instruction that you want, but if you're sitting there, you know, using your hands and just, you know, just making a mess of things, that little boy is just going to be just like his dad. And so we got to honor, we have to be honorable. We need to be honorable, don't we? Honorable. Model honor. Honor is better taught than caught. You stop honoring the dishonoring things and honor the right things. Here's an illustration. My parents forced me to clean my room and make my bed. Alex, go. See what Nikki's doing now. My parents forced me to clean my room and make my bed. I remember I gave them a hard time. I can see now that something else is going on. The way my parents treated me was firm, but it also showed honor. I didn't realize it then, but I was learning some valuable lessons about relationships. Now that kind of scenario is played out differently in all of our upbringing, in all of our homes. And now, without consciously replaying it, we're doing the same things. What was the underlying tone of our family? Was there firmness, showing relationship, value for others? Or was there no boundaries, dishonor, letting children go and experience their own shame? And now you're trying to change that. See what I mean? Or was there a firmness and a harshness without value for relationship? This discipline really brings up all this stuff. It goes on. When parents discipline with honor, they must remove selfishness from their own hearts in order to discipline effectively. This is a challenge, but the results reproduce themselves in their children. No other substitute will work. I want you to hear, nothing will substitute for this. Nothing will substitute. Discipline and honor must remove the selfishness from our hearts. Proverbs 22 verse 8 says this, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. The rod of anger always fails. Proverbs 22:8. Mark it down. The rod of anger always fails. There was a mother, she was speaking with her wayward son. And her wayward son, brought up in a Christian home, was being wayward. He was not accepting rebuke. He was not listening to correction. And the mother stated, she was having an intense conversation with him. She walked away from the interaction and she said, I was so angry I had to get away. What is the underlying tone in that family, that mother to her child? It's anger, isn't it? There's anger. And that anger is just seething underneath. You know, many people don't see it in the church, right? You can hide it. But when you push me hard enough, I am angry with you. And that's communicated in a variety of ways, which just, it just destroys children. The rod of anger always fails. It never, ever produces what you want it to work. Whether it's sarcasm, whether it's, you know, just all those different expressions of anger that we know. The rod of anger will never work. So, let's use it. Let's just be insane. No. Let's put it off. What's the answer? Humble yourself. At the point when you're feeling anger, what we need there is humility. God help me. They're offending me. They're being dishonoring. Help me. Humble. Lead you to grace. And you know what? You may not do anything at that moment. You may wait. You may wait 10 seconds. You may wait a day. Okay? But it's better to wait 10 seconds. It's better to wait a day until you are humble, in grace, in faith, and valued to do what's right for that child. That's a model, disarmed at a deep heart level for your children. Boy, that's good stuff, isn't it? Let's work on that. Okay, let's pray for one another. That's where we need to really go on this thing. Because if we miss that, then our families and this church will literally crumble before our eyes. It will happen to us. We will crumble. Our families will crumble. If God is not mocked, and all the great ideals that we have for United Church and Home will be nothing. Because all the children will be right in there with Barnum statistics, you know. 8% of our children will have a biblical worldview and the rest will go away. What do you think is going on in those homes? This is the stuff that's going on that God is not on. Children are picking that up. They know. And just because we're homeschooling and here, what did Jesus say this thing comes from? It comes from the heart. It's fundamental. It's the heart.
So, this is the that's the fifth one, model honor. The sixth one, to me, this is really encouraging for me. Honor appeals to the conscience. This is good. This really is important. Honor appeals to the conscience. It appeals to the conscience. This is how not to do it. You're so bad. Can't you just do better? You've been appealed to the conscience, but you've put shame in their conscience. Shame, shame, shame. Disrespect, disrespect, shame. To try to motivate a child to do right. Now you're addressing their conscience, but you're just putting shame in there. That's not an appeal to the conscience. How does God appeal to our conscience? Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, having offered himself without spot, the grace of God in Jesus Christ, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Woo! That's a mouthful, isn't it? That's Hebrews 9:10. How does God appeal to your conscience? Brothers and sisters, God appeals to your conscience by grace. Jesus, through the eternal Spirit, blood, cleanses you through grace. Why? So that He can cleanse your conscience and He can remove you from dead works and cleanse your conscience to serve the living God. He comes to you by grace to open your hearts up and makes that appeal to your conscience. By the mercies of God, present yourself. Bonds to present yourselves a living sacrifice. Get up on that altar and die and be a living sacrifice. What's the basis of that? Romans 1-11. The mercy of God in Christ. So let us appeal to our children's conscience. Let us give them a clear conscience. Let us appeal to them with grace and motivate their conscience with honor. And I'll give you an example of this from my own family. I was dealing with one of my children. And it was a situation where the child was being a little dishonoring. Okay? And I didn't want to deal with it right then. And so I come in and I say, you know what you're doing is wrong. You're not doing right. Get yourself together. You're being bad. You're doing wrong. Get right. And you know what? It was real effective. The child just got worse. Imagine that. How would you like if I came up to you? You know what? You're always late for church. You're never there on time. I see you're just a slob. Messed up. Get a haircut. Right? You'd be like, okay, I feel, thanks, Pastor. I feel a lot better. I think I'm going to go serve the Lord. Right? You'd feel like this. Ugh. Right? You'd be like that.
Well, it's amazing. You know, I come out there and have a few choice words, kind words with my wife. You know, my wife said appropriate things to me. I thought about it, humbled myself, got some grace in my presuppositions here, in my, you know, got the grace flowing in me. And a few minutes later, I went back in. It was like 5 minutes later. It was such a night and a day. I said, "Son, I know you really want to obey God, don't you?
Yeah.
You want me to train you, don't you? Mm-hmm. You want to honor your parents, don't you?
I do.
See, I was going too hard at it." And then I said, "Well, what you're doing right now, it appears to be dishonoring. You know." And that's all it took. I was appealing to his conscience. "Son, I know you want to do better. Can we work on doing this better?" "Yeah, okay." And so we moved from the rod to the reproof. We got reconciliation. It was sweet. It made it faster than I thought. And we were on our way. It was beautiful. And I thought, "Oh, what a night and day difference right there." And it was such a... And I talked to my child. I said, "Can I share this?" They're like, "Yeah." Because it was such a night and day difference. It was like, you know, on one hand... You know, it was like, the whole thing was only like, I don't know, 15 minutes long. You know, and it was just such a night and day difference. Appeal to the conscience. Grace appeals to the conscience. Honor is a gift, brothers and sisters. It's a gift. Just like love is a gift. It's a choice that we make to give to our children. Give your children the gift of honor. Be concerned with them. Treat them as special. Do more than is expected. Deal with the bad attitude. Create honor lessons in life. Model honor and appeal to the conscience. God have mercy upon us. Help us to do this. That's the second point of this sermon. The third point is the wrap-up point. Why do we have to honor? And this is where I want us to understand the why. This is the, and I believe God does this in His Word. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with the promise that it will go well with you, that you may live long in the land. This is the motivation. The reason this sermon is couched in a why and not a how is because I believe the fifth commandment, the focus is on the why. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? Why is this so important? It's so that you can live. Honor your father and your mother. It's the first commandment with the promise that it may be well with you and that you may live. And so God wants us to know why, because if we understand the why, we'll humble ourselves, we'll get the grace, and we'll train them. Why is this so important? So that you can live. So that they be well with you. How many want it to be well with you? How many children here want it to be well with you? To be well simply means to be well with, to be happy, to have a good time. What is necessary? Honor your parents. Children, listen to me here. Children, look me in the eyes. For it to be well with you. You have one commandment given specifically to you in Scripture. It's the fifth commandment. Of all the things you have to worry about, it's this. Honor God and honor your parents. That is the center of your life, your focus. If you do that, everything else, it'll be well with you. That's a promise from God. That's a promise from God. And so God wants us to know why. It'll be well with you. That you may live long in the land. Letter B on your outline. Honor sustains the family. This gift is a gift that is given to sustain the family. Honor your father and your... That you may live long in the land. This is the purpose. Honor God. We value God and His will. And we honor Him in the training of our children. To train them to honor, that it may be well with you. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares his rod hates his son." So if we do not discipline our children, we are hating them. And many of us have grown up in families where we say things like, "Well, my parents, they were good parents, they didn't hate me." Well, did they discipline you? Well, no, not at a heart level, not really. Then you know what? According to Scripture, your parents hated you. Now, we all understand, we all have a love for our children. And even everybody does, okay? But I think the best way to say this is not just a completely hated me. There's an incomplete love there. And to a degree, we all have an incomplete love for our children, don't we? Well, look at this one. This is like a big one. The Scripture says, "He who spares his rod hates his son." Hates him. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Honor sustains the family. It sustains the family that you may live long in the land. 1 Samuel 2, Eli was very old. He was a very old man. And his sons, he was a priest, high priest, and his sons were in the land, and they were profaning the Lord's sacrifices. They would bring sacrifice to the Lord, and they would come up and they would just stick their meat hook in it and eat it. They were lying with the women. They were committing fornication. God says, "For I hear of your evil dwellings from all the people." So Eli, God tells Eli, and then Eli goes to his sons, and he says, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil doings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them." God desired to kill them because it was not going well with this family. Verse 29, 2 Samuel 2:29. "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place?" And then he says this to Eli, "And honor your sons more than me." You see here, Eli honored his sons more than God. He had things out of whack. God says, "Honor me, honor your father and mother, that you may live long in the land." God desired to kill his sons because his father honored, he valued his sons. He valued his children's approval more than he valued God's approval. "And honor your sons more than me, and make yourself fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." We know that verse, right? Those who honor me, God says, I will honor, but those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. It's a principle for all of life. Specifically for the family, because this father honored his family more than God. God said, "That promise I made you, what I said to you, you're not going to experience it. You're going to die." And they die. And they're gone. There's a battle, and they're wiped out. The family's destroyed. Honor God. Honor God. Honor father, mother. The family was destroyed and removed from their place of service. Honor God, honor parents. You see this thing of honor? Honor sustains your family. And I want us to understand, when I say honor sustains the family, it's this. Those who honor me, I will honor. Those who lightly esteem, I will despise. So when I say honor sustains the family, it's this. Honor for God, honor for family. Honor for God, honor for family. Honor for God, honor for family. God is the motivation. God is the center of this thing. God created the family. It's God's purpose. It's God's will in our home. And we need to be careful that we don't elevate our own desires, goals, and thoughts for our home as a family age-integrated, homeschool-oriented church. And we honor family above God. God says, if you do that for me, and you honor your sons over me, I will be gone. And you'll experience the second commandment, passing on the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation to those who hate me. By the fourth generation, the family is obliterated because of idols in the heart. Eli had an idol in his heart. He wanted the affirmation of his family more than God. But the second commandment goes on, doesn't it? "But showing mercy to thousands who love me and keep my commandments." That's God's heart on this. Thousands who love me and keep my commandments. Brothers and sisters, honor God. Honor the family. Now let's take this a step further. The first point on this one, that it may be well with you individually. For your family, honor sustains the family, and honor now sustains the people of God collectively. Each of us have we have an awful lot of stake right here, brothers and sisters. You and I have a lot on stake on this message, on this commandment. Because honor sustains the family. I was listening to a talk show. And they're talking about youth ministry, and the guy was on there, and he said, talking about the principle of 1 in 5. You know, for years they thought, if you have a 1 in 5 ratio for youth ministry, you're doing really good. That is, one youth leader for every 5 students. 1 and 5. And then he said, what we're saying now is that, he said, I still believe in 1 and 5. But he said, I believe it this way. You need 5 caring adults for every 1 student. He reversed it. And that's important to reveal this, to show this. That honor for God in the community is what it takes to train up families that will honor God above all. The interaction that we have with one another here, see, in the community, there's honor for God as individuals, there's honor for God in the home, and there's honor for God in the community of faith in the church. And by God's grace, we take this to heart. Your children need to see you honor God 24/7. And they also need to see other adults honoring God and that are willing to build into their life. This is the value of the church. This is the value of being knit together in a community. You understand this? And you know what? We're all accountable to this thing. You and I, man to man, we are accountable to this thing here. This is the community element of bringing up children in the Lord. I don't think the village to raise a family. A family can raise a family. But families are in community with the other jurisdictions, aren't they? The state and the church. This is the aspect of the church. And so there's a community involvement with the people of God. Listen to this. That's the backdrop for this. Exodus 21:15 says this, he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. What does that look like? Deuteronomy 21:18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. So this is an older child. Then all the men of his city shall stone him with stones to death. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now everyone should have just sat up straight a little bit there. Right? This is a matter of life and death. The fifth commandment is a matter of life, and it is a matter of death. Honor God all the time. If you will not obey the fifth commandment, either you will be destroyed, or the people will be destroyed for not obeying God. God does not mess around with this one. The idols in the heart will either have to be kicked down, smashed, beaten, drank, and excremented, which is what they did with false idols. I think it's a good idea we do that too. Or we will bow down and worship them. We will either, in this assembly, right here, we will either incur judgment for tolerating sin, or we'll be set free. We will either die the death of to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, or we will experience the blessing of thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Exodus 2, the second commandment. The application for us is this. I want to listen to this. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Am I saying that we should stone children? No. But I'm saying the principle applies to the church. But it applies this way. It applies this way. Here's the application for us. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders of his church. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Matthew 18. This is the application for the church that parallels the Deuteronomy 21 application. Now listen, it starts today. There's a community development. There's a community appropriateness to the fifth commandment. Yes, we're accountable as individuals. Yes, we're accountable in our homes. But we're also accountable to encourage one another in the community of faith. If it breaks down there, it will break down everywhere else. How many have here, story after story after story, of teens who are brought up in the church, right? And they rebel against God and they go into the world. And what's the response? Nothing. Nothing. A deafening silence. The parents, they just try to hang in there. And the church is uninvolved. There's no church discipline. There's no calling forth this individual to give an account. And it compiles damnation upon damnation. And I think what we reap is we're hating these children. We're hating them because we're not disciplining them promptly. We're not going to the way that God has ordained to discipline this situation. I'm bringing up this right now because, praise the Lord, we're not dealing with this right now, today. But we're not going to deal with it tomorrow if we don't, I pray we don't, but if we don't talk about it today. On the other hand, I do know of a few circumstances where a child went AWOL. They rebelled against God and they went. And the parents got involved. And the church got involved, and the elders got involved, and they went and they talked, and they had meetings, and there was processes there, and it went to different levels. Some stopped there, and there was reconciliation and repentance. Some, they were able to work through those hard issues. Children just don't rebel in a vacuum. They're working through the issues, right? Sometimes it's told to the church. But I've seen some of those children repent and come back in the family of God. And we say, praise God. What kind of church are we going to be? Are we going to honor God? And honor the fifth commandment? Are we going to truncate that? Are we going to be so concerned for our children that we don't honor God and hate them in the process? That's where the culture's at. That's where God's calling us to grow out of. We must be diligent to enter the rest of God and obey. My prayer is that we would never have this here, that we never have to deal with it. Obviously, we pray that, oh God. But if we do, let us highly resolve to do just this. How many are with me on this? Amen. This is a serious commitment. This is not just a rash thing. This is serious. Because this is the kind of stuff that makes it hard. But this is the stuff that honors God. The same context of Matthew 18. I'm going to end with this. Listen to what Jesus says. And this should cause us to really think through this. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Let us take heed to our spirits. Let us be diligent to honor God, to keep His commandments, to honor father and mother in all of its applications. Our fathers and mothers, and training our children to honor father and mother. Where we are having a problem, let us seek our hearts, search our hearts, and get the attitude of humility, of grace, and the value to honor our children enough to train them. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord God.